The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Dr. Pettirudi, and this is Intellectual Medicine. What a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day to sit inside with a cup of coffee and look outside at the drizzle and be glad that you're not in it. Well, today we have a very special guest in the booth. Good morning, Shannon. It's great having you here with us this morning, as always.
Good morning.
And I have Julie Naray with us. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
Now, Julie is going to be sharing her story with you as an example of what can be. Because she's experienced it and lived it firsthand. We talk about intellectual medicine. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we're necessarily smarter than other people, although I dare say if you're listening to this show, give yourself 10 points on your IQ score. But in general, it's not that we're brighter. There's a thirst for knowledge that defines intellectualism. There's a curiosity. There's a desire to know what can be rather than continuing to reflect on what is. And in that spirit, many people have turned to the internet. They have gone looking for solutions to problems. They have searched the World Wide Web. They have access, you have access to the information that for thousands of years was held privately by your doctor and was only available in that encounter with them. Consequently, when you had a difficult issue, you are left either to fully trust that source of information or physically go about doctor searching, trying to find somebody with a different pocket of knowledge. I suppose you could go to the library and dig out archives. I remember back in the day, and when I say back in the day, I mean 15 years ago, when I wanted to research a topic, I'd have to go to the medical library and dig out the article and copy it on a copy machine. It would take me all day to look at a couple of articles, perhaps. Now I can look at 100 in an afternoon, and so can you. Not that we're transferring responsibility fully, but the point is that people have knowledge, and you're coming to your doctor with that fund of knowledge. And Julie came to her doctors with a fund of knowledge because she was struggling with some issues. In our world, in the intellectual medicine world, in the 120-year lifespan world, that's right, 120 years. Now, some people have said to me, gee, I don't want to live that long. And I return to them, you know, there's not a patient in my practice who's 94 that does not want to see 95. The only variable is quality. Therefore, retention of youth and extension of life are inseparable. So, Julie, I'm going to ask you, just if you would, for our listeners, talk a little bit about where you were before we ever connected and what process you went through to figure out that there might be another way forward.
So growing up, weight was never an issue for me. I was always athletic and probably a size 2. So in my 30s, I had started having medical issues that prevented me to have children until I was in my late 30s. I was finally diagnosed with hypothyroidism right before my pregnancy. And with both my daughters, was diagnosed with gestational diabetes, which turned into type 2 diabetes now. So for about 9 years, I've been treated by an endocrinologist for my thyroid and my diabetes. Still, for 9 years, still have the same exact symptoms that I did when my thyroid was off, yet I kept going back every 6 months. My T4 was always fine. My overall thyroid, and I still had the symptoms. I couldn't lose weight from either one of my pregnancies. My hair was falling out in clumps. I was always cold, dry skin, constipated. I had irregular menstrual periods. I ended up becoming very depressed about it. I had friends, my best friend and her husband started with the Pettirudi Center, and I saw some drastic results with them. So I sat down with my husband, and decided that it would be worth a try, as I think my health is definitely the most important thing. So when I began with the Pettirudi Center, I met with Dr. Pettirudi, and he asked me all about my symptoms and my history, and I was still having problems with my thyroid. So he asked me if anyone ever tested me for my T3. And so I obviously had a funny look on my face because I was like, well, clearly I don't even know what that is because I only know about T4. So Dr. Pettirudi immediately had some blood work done, and it was definitely my T3 that was driving a lot of my symptoms and side effects. He put me on a compound thyroid medicine, and within 2 weeks, I had already dropped 12 pounds. The results were completely drastic from the get-go. But he, you know, I meet with him now on a monthly basis. Before it was weekly, and I met with Shannon, the nurse, and they would just help me balance vitamins and supplements and things that my body was needing through my complaints or my needs or my blood work and whatnot. Since I started with them, I've lost 65 pounds. Very little of that is muscle mass, which is exciting. I am down to my wedding weight, which is very appropriate since we're celebrating our 20th anniversary this year. I can't say enough about the Pettirudi method. I mean, I think Dr. Pettirudi and his staff takes the time to listen to each individual. I have several friends that are going to the center, and between all five of us, none of us are being treated the same. And that says something about Dr. Pettirudi's method, is every patient is different and has to be treated differently.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks for sharing that. I'm so happy for your success. And I wanted to put out a couple of points, and your story is very compelling. And I hope, listeners, that you're taking this in and giving yourselves a reflective question. And I've seen this before where a woman will go to her doctor or a man, and let's talk about the women in the moment, and say, you know, doc, I'm gaining weight, I'm feeling tired. And the response is often, well, you're getting older, as if to say, that's as good as it gets. Stop complaining. At least you don't have cancer. The absence of disease defines good health. But, doctor, I grew up my entire life a size 2, let's say. Now, if you're a size 2 and you go to be a size 5, correct me if I'm wrong, and Shannon, you can weigh in, that's powerfully traumatic. I mean, it's a horrible thing. They're nodding yes, folks. It's a horrible thing.
For a woman, it's a horrible thing.
It is.
It
affects your mental health, not to mention the finances. You've got to buy a whole new wardrobe, not to mention your self-esteem on many levels, including your physical presence to a spouse or partner. Yet, these are issues that sometimes get glossed over. As long as the numbers look good. You know, in medical school, we're taught, treat the patient, not the lab. Yet in practice, we have started to treat the lab. It's one of the problems with conventional medicine, the way it's currently structured. Your doctor, and I dare say perhaps even your endocrinologist, may have had a spirit to want to help you, but may have felt constrained by the dogma of conventional medicine. This is how we treat thyroid disorder. Never mind what the patient's saying, the numbers look good. But doctor, my hair's falling out. Julie, every symptom you had is a symptom of low thyroid. And even without a lab being drawn, many clinicians would conclude, I suspect low thyroid. Now, when the labs are drawn and the labs look technically normal, it doesn't mean that your body is at its appropriate level. There's something called tissue receptors, and they vary between each individual. Your numbers can look good on paper, but the tissues aren't getting the thyroid that they need. And just to highlight thyroid, for those of you that are interested in this field, your body makes generally T4, and in the circulation, as it's released from the gland, it gets converted into T3. As we get older, it's harder to convert, And if you're lacking certain nutrients, it's harder still. And unless that is evaluated and addressed symptomatically, you're not going to do very well. Another area of concern regards the diabetes. Now, unfortunately, controlling the sugar number is simply not good enough. Every diabetic is at an increased level of risk for heart disease and cancer. And even if your sugar is perfectly controlled, that risk persists. There are more variables to it than that. Now, after the break, Julie, we'll pick up, because there are other elements of hormonal support that we pursued. Now, think about that for a moment. You're having these symptoms for years. You're feeling tired and run down, and yet you don't have a disease. It's not good enough. When you start to feel your energy go down, that is the downward spiral that takes us into agedness. The normal way of aging, I've heard some people say, well, I'm going to age the old-fashioned way. I'm going to age normally. Well, really, let's define that. What does that mean? Do you want your bones to shrink? Do you want your brain to fade, your skin to get lax, your sex drive to go away, your genitals to shrink? That's normal aging, folks. You know, mark me absent, but there's got to be a better way. And there is. Julie's living it. I'm living it. My patients are living it. You can live it. This is a choice. For the first time in the history of mankind, we have an option on how we can manage our aging. No longer is it a passive endeavor from the point of having your children go off to college until you go to Florida, shrivel up and die. We have a, by the way, Florida, I don't mind Florida. I just don't intend to show up there anytime soon. I like Rhode Island, thanks. We have choices, folks. And if you go to the internet and you look at my website or you study other sources, you have to do your homework. There's nothing wrong with getting old the old-fashioned way and dying prematurely. You can take that choice. On the other hand, you don't have to. There are options in front of you that are real and scientifically validated. When we come back after the break, we're going to be talking about sex hormone replacement, about bioidentical hormones, and about how they fit into the whole spectrum of living longer. 120-year lifespan can be yours. It's going to be mine. It'll be Julie's. I expect to be doing this show when I'm 110, Shannon. What do you think? You up for that?
I'll listen to you. How's that?
Oh, man. This is that's the spirit. So I was talking to someone, and they said, you know, you're calling this 120-year lifespan. Doesn't that seem unrealistic? I said, not at all. There are people living to 100 now. 120 years is within our grasp. That's how long our cells are engineered to live. So you start out saying, what's stopping me from going to 120? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that after the break. I'm here with Julie and Shannon. This is Intellectual Medicine. I am Dr. Pederuti.
Now, back to Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pederuti. Call in now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
And we are back. I'm here with Shannon and with Julie. It's a beautiful morning for me. If you can watch this on our live feed, you'll realize I'm flanked by two very beautiful women. And we were just talking during the break about Julie's experience and how her husband actually helped her outline the history. Share a little bit of that. I thought that was insightful and telling.
Well, he thought it would be important for me to pinpoint how I started in the whole development. And he was typing at the computer before I even spoke. And I said, well, what are you typing? He goes, your story. And I said, well, it's my story. He says, but I've lived it. So, I mean, he's been with me through the entire process, very supportive. And he lived the whole struggle with me, which was probably the worst part of it. So I know he's very proud, and he is very excited to get his real wife back.
Well, you know, he's been there throughout, and it's a beautiful aspect of this when couples are enriched by being able to hold on to their vitality. So we were talking before the break about the importance of identifying the patient's symptom as the driving force in everything that is done in intellectual medicine. Assessing those symptoms and asking a simple question. How can we help? What can be done to make it better? And then you've got to do the homework. You have to do the studying. You've got to know where to go next. So with Julie, there was a thyroid that was corrected. There were changes made with diabetic management. There's another hormone that's very critical to our well-being, and these are the sex hormones, perhaps the most controversial. Estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, DHEA, pregnenolone. I could go on. I just like saying big words, Shannon. It makes me feel smart. Thanks. But the point is that they're out there, folks, and even if you don't know about them, they're affecting your health. Now, you go to see your doctor, as Julie did, and the doctor may say, well, your thyroid's out of whack, and you would naturally say, oh, well, then how are you going to fix that? The thyroid is a gland that emits a hormone that is critical to your well-being. Your gonads are a gland that emit hormones that are critical to your well-being. You get the analogy? When one stops working, it becomes a treatable entity. When the other stops working, you get patted on the back and told to have a nice life. Welcome to the aged world. Well, we defy that. And by virtue of thoughtful study and application, sex hormones can and should be replaced in everybody when the time is right, when the need is present. Without replacing them, you will age faster. You will suffer adverse consequence. So, Julie, I thought if you would pick up from the point when we met, and you were just sharing with me that that was not necessarily something that you had contemplated at the beginning of our journey.
Correct. Well, halfway through, I think, the whole process, we had talked very openly about sex drive, the fact that I had a hysterectomy, my age, anything about underlying symptoms. And we had talked about the bioidentical hormone replacement therapy,
I think you called it. Yes.
Okay.
Bioidentical.
And we had decided that due to my thyroid and my hysterectomy, I definitely was lacking in that department. And, you know, we had talked about the pellets, and I think I'm on my third set, and you've helped me get, as I'm trying to say this clean because my kids, I think, are listening, you helped me get my sexy back.
well said. You know, I think these are, thank you for sharing that, such important topics to explore and reflect upon. Again, let's go back to that word normal. And let's challenge the concept. First, there is no normal. There just is what was, what is, and what could be. And it's up to us to decide how those boundaries fit. Now, I've had people in my practice that have chosen not to pursue the full gamut of anti-aging medicine. And they do so with a good heart. And they know their choice. And that is their prerogative, and it doesn't make them less than. In fact, I would say it's a form of intellectual medicine. When you know your options, you study them, and you make a choice. A vast majority of them, however, choose to take the path of restoring that which is missing. So when you go to the doctor and you're saying, I'm having difficulty, I love my spouse, but I don't have the same interest, oftentimes there's a hormonal trigger to that. But it all connects. You can't just do one thing. If all you do is fix the weight, but you ignore the other sex hormones, you're not going to get to your best level. And if all you do is fix the hormones, but don't address everything else, you're not going to get to your best level. They're hard to do, but they're achievable. And Julie is here as a living example. If you can see her before and after, please go to our website. Shannon, is it on our website? Where can people see that?
It will be in a moment. It's it's on. You can go to @DrPetterudi on Twitter. You can also go onto our Facebook page where we have some feed of this radio show.
Okay.
And it'll also be on the PetterudiCenter.com if you click on weight loss and before and after.
Well, that's good news. I couldn't believe, Julie, your before and after. You know, when we're working together and I'm seeing you all the time, it's like watching your children grow up. You don't notice stuff. And then all of a sudden, I saw that before and after. I said, holy cow. You know, you went from being matronly to being, well, by golly, vivacious.
Actually, my husband said to me this morning, when he saw the picture, he said, I don't remember you being that big. And I said, that's because you love me.
Oh, and on that, folks, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, feel free to call us. Julie's here. I'm here. We'll be glad to field your questions.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Hey, folks, we're back. That's right. Young, healthy, full of energy and vitality. That's how we want you to live. That's your birthright. The idea of being chronically ill, but not quite dead, in need of extensive pharmacologic and medical intervention, is a great recipe for sustaining the medical industrial complex. This style of medicine where you stay really well and you don't need a whole lot of intervention is not widely embraced yet, but there is that movement afoot. And it's starting with the people on the ground. It's starting with you, patients asking questions. Can I live better? Can I live healthier? How come my doctor can't help me lose weight? Why is it that I'm going through these midlife changes and I'm being told that just take some medicine for the depression? I don't know if that was ever suggested to you, Julie, in your journey fighting symptoms. Did anybody ever suggest to you that you're depressed and you should be on an antidepressant?
Yes.
And did you ever actually follow that advice?
I did for maybe 20 days and didn't like how I felt on it, so took myself off.
Oh, good for you. So you have the spirit of intellectual medicine running through your veins. And think about that for a moment. You're gaining weight. You're not feeling good. You're losing hair. Your skin's dry. You're battling constipation. Your libido is diminished. You're having genital symptoms, vaginal dryness, erectile difficulty. And you go to your doctor, and of course you're depressed. And the doctor says, well, you're depressed. I'll give you an antidepressant. And those drugs have side effects of dry mouth, lost sex drive, and weight gain. Have a nice day. Here's the solution to your problem. You know, you'll still have all those symptoms. You just won't care anymore because the drug will obliterate some of your initiative. You know, and I have great empathy for my colleagues. Doctors are warm-hearted, caring people. They want you to do well. They're just overwhelmed with volume and minutia and bureaucratic junk that absolutely pollutes your encounter with the clinician. You have no idea how much computer clicking is required on the part of that doctor just to get paid for the visit and qualify for what they're doing. Now, in our world, we get to separate from that a little bit, and we were talking before the break about bioidentical hormones, and what about the risks? And we all hear hormones are going to give you cancer. And we know that there's a study that did correlate artificial progesterone with a slight increased risk of breast cancer. That's it. There's never been an implication directly of bioidentical hormones with regard to increased cancer risk. In fact,
I think she'd actually, what study was that?
The Women's Health Initiative was the first study.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one that correlated Provera with increased breast cancer risk. Even in that study, artificial estrogen had no increased breast cancer risk. Women who had hysterectomies and went on artificial Premarin did not have an increased risk. In fact, their risk of colon cancer and ovarian cancer trends downward. And we know from other studies that there's a correlation between starting bioidentical hormones young as you have, Julie, and protecting your brain against future dementia. There is clearly a correlation between hormone replacement and bone preservation and bone health and all the other attributes we speak of. There's another study that came after that called the Fournier study, where they broke down different types of hormones and tried to align which ones specifically might increase breast cancer risk. And they concluded that there was a wide variation depending on the type of hormone delivered. So we feel strongly that the bioidentical approach, particularly when you avoid an oral avenue for testosterone and progesterone, can be very powerful to protect your health and does not increase cancer risk. It's not to say that it's a shield, and we still need to do our usual due diligence with regard to health care. We'll talk a little bit about the effect that has on mammograms. In fact, Julie, one of the hormones you're on is, in fact, testosterone, isn't it?
Yes.
So we'll talk about why testosterone in a woman. Isn't that a man's hormone?
Yes.
We'll talk about that after the break. I am Dr. Pederuti. I'm here with Shannon and with Julie, and this is Intellectual Medicine.
Now, back to Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pederuti. Call in now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
And we are back. I'm here with Julie Noray, who is a patient of ours, who's been kind enough to share her story with our listeners this morning, an example of what can be achieved when you're curious, when you ask the right questions, and when you seek answers to difficult problems. How many pounds have you lost, Julie?
65.
Unbelievable. I still can't get over that picture, Shannon. You guys have to look at that picture. It's amazing. You know, and the photographs are only a part of the story. And as Julie highlighted, analyzing the quality of that loss, that is fat, not muscle, fat, not bone. In many pathways of weight loss, people are shrinking their brain, shrinking their bone, shrinking their organs. The scale may look a little bit better, but their health is being corroded. I heard on the way in this morning a professor who went on a Twinkie diet for 28 days and lost 28 pounds. And he was trying to make the point that you can eat anything and lose weight as long as you eat less of it. Now, technically, that's true. However, left unsaid is that will ruin your health unless it's done in a balanced manner. And one of the ways we balance things is when the time is right, when the need is present, we put the hormones back in. And Julie, one of the hormones I suggested and you concurred was testosterone. Tell me what you thought when I told you, hey, I think you need testosterone.
I think I looked at you really funny because I knew that that was a hormone for men. And you obviously broke it down for me and explained it. And once you explained it and how it would help due to a lot of my thyroid issue and my hysterectomy and some other underlining symptoms, I thought it would... It's definitely something I wanted to try. I think, you know, that part of a relationship is very important and makes your relationship healthy. So it was definitely worth the risk to me. You know, there were minimal side effects to it. I think the worst and the only one I had, which we tweaked since then, was hair growth. Mm-hmm. And that was it. But I have so much energy, I'm definitely a totally different person.
The hair growth, has that been altered? Are you at
yes.
a place?
Yeah. Yes, you had switched, I believe, some of the estrogen or the...
So it's all about the balance.
Yeah, you had balanced it, and since then, it's good to go.
Well, I will say, and thanks for sharing that, it's my strong medical opinion based upon my studies and clinical experience and that of other doctors in this field in which I practice, that testosterone is essential to a woman's health. And as it fades, now it begins to fade when you're in your late 20s and early 30s. And we've had women as early as their 30s begin testosterone therapy. Testosterone leaves your body first. It leaves your body when you're still menstruating. It starts to fade even when you are premenopausal. And in many cases, it is the first and only hormone you need to get yourself back on track, protecting you from the consequences of dwindling testosterone, low energy, diminished sex drive, vaginal dryness, muscle mass loss, getting, you know, loose all the way around. The other thing that the testosterone can do is condense up the breast. Well, that's a good thing. A dense breast is more youthful. However, when you get your mammograms done, it will appear more dense. And the radiologists sometimes get uncomfortable. It's harder to interpret when there's not a lot of fat tissue in there. So I just share that as a piece of information. Not that it's a hazard, but because it's just different. Now, it'll be interesting how the world reacts. Now, I've had some patients who have gone back to their doctor, and their doctors have said, good for you. What you're doing is fantastic. And we, you know, I believe it's in balance. And as long as it's being carefully monitored by a doctor who knows what he's doing, you're on a safe ground. Now, that'll be interesting to see because I know that appointment's coming up for you as well. And to my gynecologic colleagues, I have immense respect for what they do. And this is a parallel universe where doctors working together can achieve greatest outcomes. And for those who are fearful of hormones, I think that it's a reasonable fear that you should explore with knowledge. And with knowledge will come the wisdom needed to make a solid choice for you. I'm of the opinion everybody should be on hormones. It's just a matter of when, not if. You know, why go through life without all of your full complement of hormones you're born with? You know, why let that happen to you if you don't have to? The fear of cancer is largely overstated and has never been correlated with bioidentical hormones. In regard to men, the prostate cancer has never been correlated to the use of testosterone. It's different if you already have cancer. In that case, it can feed a cancer that is already present. However, as an instigator that starts the cancer, that still is being explored and has not been well established at all. There are other things that affect cancer risk. In the United States, it has a lot to do with toxins, pollutants, heavy metals, and yes, folks, obesity itself is now the number one preventable cause of cancer, having surpassed cigarette smoking. Those excess fat cells ooze out hormones called cytokines that are pro-inflammatory and damaging to your health. Now, today we're focusing on women's health and bioidentical hormones, thyroid replacement, but really it's all about intellectual medicine, putting it all together so that you have your most vital lifespan, your greatest strength, your greatest resilience against cancer. So many times you'll read the literature, not the literature, but the lay press, and they'll say, well, vitamin D doesn't work, or, you know, vitamin C doesn't work. They're looking at it the old-fashioned way. They're taking it in compartments rather than how things connect. When you integrate them, things happen. Julie, had we done just one thing, we wouldn't get the result you're having. And that's what's wrong with medicine today in many ways. It's a compartmentalized world. You have a gynecologic issue, see the gynecologist. You have an endocrinologic issue, see the endocrinologist. You have a weight issue, well, good luck. Nobody knows what the hell to do with that.
Well, I also think being a woman and being around women all day that you think you get to a certain age and that's how you're supposed to feel. And those are the changes you're supposed to go through. It's all part of life. And unless you're educated or you see a doctor that is educated in this particular thing, you don't know there's other options out for you.
Well, I'm glad you found us, and I'm glad you discovered
so
those other options, and I'm glad you're sharing it with our listening audience. And when we come back, we're going to talk in a little more detail about thyroid. We are coming back, right?
We are coming back.
We are coming back, right. Do I need to announce anything?
I'm just going to say if you want to give us a call, it's 438-WPRO or toll-free 1-800-321-WPRO. You can also tweet us at Dr. Pettirudi.
All right, thanks. And we'll be back in a few minutes, folks.
Now, back to Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Call in now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
I'm Dr. Pettirudi. I'm here with Julie Nerey and Shannon, and we're talking about life transformation, intellectual medicine, and Julie commenting on the fact that in order to achieve your best self, in some ways, you have to part from the stream of what is common. The common experience where you would gain comfort from your peers, where you would say, oh, I'm gaining so much weight. If you're a guy, you might say, well, you know, I'm having some struggles with my energy. I'm feeling tired. And you'll get sympathetic nods around the table. Yep, that's what it's like. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. Now, as you started to make your metamorphosis, Julie, were any of your peers questioning what you were doing, the wisdom of it, the path you're on, or were they all cheering you on?
I did not get one negative feedback. All positive. I actually work for physicians, and interesting enough, I told them all about your T3 theory, and yep. They were completely interested and amazed at how I went that long with that being diagnosed and all those symptoms and that kind of thing.
Well, that's good to hear. I love that open-mindedness. And if time permits, we'll talk more about thyroid. If not, we'll pick it up in a future show. I am Dr. Pedrudi. We're here every Saturday from 8 to 9. Right now, though, we have a caller, Mary from Narragansett. Hi, Mary. This is Dr. Pedrudi. You're on Intellectual Medicine.
Hi, Dr. Pedrudi. Yes, I have a question. I have a history of breast cancer, and I'm also on the antidepressant Lexapro. And I've had trouble losing weight and all the symptoms you're talking about. Is that a safe alternative for me, the biochemical replacement?
Yeah. Mary, thanks for your call. It's a very intelligent question. I have great sympathy. Good luck in this fight that you're in. There are things that can be done that are helpful to the whole context of your well-being. When it comes to weight, a lot of the antidepressants are weight-gaining drugs. Now, the reason why many doctors don't feel that's the case is because there's a delayed effect. When you start a drug like Lexapro, for the first 4 months, there's not significant weight gain in most cases. It tends to accumulate over time. So certainly restoring energy and getting to your best weight would be valuable to help protect you from secondary relapse of cancer. One of the things we do at our center is secondary prevention, Mary. That means what can you do so the cancer doesn't come back? Too often, even after that five-year threshold, people have relapses, and there are things that can be done to make that less likely. But let's talk more about the other symptom complex. The question, can you do bioidentical hormones if you've had breast cancer? And the answer is it's very individually variable. I can tell you that there aren't many doctors that would encourage the use of hormones in any form whenever you've had breast cancer. I can also share with you that some patients, in extensive consultation with a intellectual medicine type of physician, have pursued bioidentical hormone replacement despite their history of breast cancer. One of those women is Suzanne Summers, and you could certainly read her books. I think they're well-written, intelligent, and thought out. And she made the choice to go on bioidentical hormones despite a history of breast cancer. And I've seen her in person. We've had conversations together. She looks as good as she does on the book covers. So I would say, Mary, it depends on how long has it been since a cancer, which type of cancer it was, whether or not it was estrogen sensitive. And then even if you can't do the full gamut of therapy like Julie has done, there are forms of it that can be applied to address symptoms. For instance, many women after breast cancer and treatment have their hormones suppressed with drugs, and that can lead to vaginal atrophy and dryness. And topical application of E3 can be safe and effective in that setting. So the short answer is that in some cases, the bioidentical hormones can be applied, but it has to be reflected upon individually. And then it comes down to the most important thing in life and in intellectual medicine, philosophy. How do you want to live? What do you value? And my father was a physician, and he used to always say, nobody gets out alive. And he was right. It doesn't mean that we don't get choices on how we're going to live. And it doesn't mean that even if that choice engenders some degree of risk, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have the option to consider it. So I hope that has helped answer your question a bit, Mary.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. And for more detailed discussion of that, feel free to call my office. I would love to reflect on it with you. Anyhow, we have a couple of minutes left. Do we have any? We have 10 seconds left. That's it. So we don't have time to open up another topic, but to invite you back next week to Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pedrudi. And we will see you at the same time, same station, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Shannon, anything you want to add?
No, good as always. Thank you.
All right. All right, gang. I'm Dr. Pedrudi. This is Intellectual Medicine. You are listening to WPRO, the voice of Southern New England.